Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another interview by Project Cargo Weekly, this time with a world-known heavy lift carrier SAL and Mr. Jürgen Kunz, one of the senior managers located in Hamburg, Germany. First of all, welcome to you, Jürgen.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Bo. Pleasure to be with you guys.
You are most welcome. As a matter of fact, I always give the interviewee a chance to introduce their own background in shipping leading up to the current role that they are having. So perhaps you can enlighten us a bit about who you are and your shipping background leading up to your current position.
Sure. Well, I'm an original SAL breed. I started my training in 1993 with SAL. Then, yeah, started in chartering, I did a bit of operation work, and eventually in 2001, I was sent to China to open up the first SAL office in Asia, developing the market out there, that I did for around 10 years, and then switched horses a little bit. I then worked for another shipping company, also engaged in heavy lift project cargo, where I stayed for 5 years, also in China. And in 2015, end of 2015, my wife and I, we thought it's time to go back to Europe. And eventually I then started up again with SAL in Hamburg. Initially, I was heading the Asia chartering desk. And as you know, SAL is part of the Harren & Partner Group, who acquired SAL. And that was basically, adding more vessels, more tonnage to the SAL brand. And so we thought a little bit out of the box from our original trade lanes we usually serve to open up other markets. One of these markets were Africa. And ever since then, I'm heading the global chartering for Africa. So I'm doing everything in and out of Africa, from Europe, from Asia, and from other parts of the world. Okay. Yeah, and I'm doing that so far. Great fun.
Interesting, and you certainly are dealing with one of the future markets, if perhaps not the last future frontier available to all of us. So it's really good to know. Jürgen, in order for people to understand a little bit your fleet, not everyone is fully versed into real project cargo, but you are one of the leaders, certainly in that regard. Tell us about the type of ships that you have, how much you can lift, how many ships you got. What would be a typical project cargo for you? I mean, if I say 50 ton, you will laugh, of course, but give our readers and listeners a bit of a view of your fleet.
Well, we operate 22 twin deck project cargo vessels. Lifting capacity is ranging from 275 ton up to 2000 ton lifting capacity, and we are operating these ships in we operate them in semi-liner services between Asia, Far East, Africa, Europe, back and forth, Middle East. Basically, you can say globally, because we also have quite a bit of traffic into the Americas. Mm-hmm. However, the vessels obviously have quite a bit of a different lifting capacity. So the ships with larger crane capacity, they are most often engaged on certain project scopes we might fix. So those you will not really find in our, say, regular service pattern, because they are very special. They have, for example, dynamic positioning systems on board, and
What does dynamic positioning mean for for normal people? What does it mean in shipping?
Well, that is a system which, when you, for example, you work offshore, which keeps your ship on the position you want the ship to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got extra propellers, extra azimuths to keep you on that very place you are sitting, which is obviously important when you work offshore, you know. You've got currents to work with. With a normal vessel, you probably would not really be able to do that. You would need a spread in order to maintain the vessel in place and so on. Yeah, so this is very, very project dedicated, I would say.
Yeah. Now that's certainly a speciality that not many can offer, and certainly very valuable for oil and gas and wind turbines and stuff like that. About the SAL fleet as such, you mentioned that you're now owned by Harren and partners. So that means they had their own ships that were added to your fleet, and then you run around 22 ships now in total worldwide.
Correct, yes.
Okay. Interesting. Can you tell me, SAL, the headquarters is based in Hamburg, I believe. Do you have any other overseas offices? You still maintain one in China? Or?
Yes, we do. We do. We've got overall 25 offices and agents working for us.
Okay.
They are basically located or spread it all over the world. So we've got agents in Brazil, we've got agents in Europe, in some parts of Europe. We have own offices in Shanghai, Singapore, Tokyo, for example, as well as in Houston.
That makes, of course, sense to be closer to the customers, especially some of the large EPC contractors in South Korea, Japan, and so on. They want to be closer. Let's give you an example. I have an inquiry of a 500-ton piece from, shall we say, Singapore to Hamburg. But where would I place the inquiry, with the nearest SAL office, or would I go to head office, or how have you organized, let's say, the quoting? Is it systemized in your setup that people go to the nearest agent or office, or is it all done in Hamburg?
Well, the fleet planning is done in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, of course, a very important part of pricing. But you would most likely go to the nearest SAL office. For example, if you are located in Vietnam, you would most likely get in touch with our Singapore office.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in Europe, you would most likely go to the head office here in Hamburg, or you would, depends where you are located, for example, call up my colleague in Denmark.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that. So this is how we are set up.
Yeah. Right. And your policy, you know, nowadays some ship owners, especially within the container business, they now also want to be freight forwarders and want to go ashore to be a so-called one-stop shop. How do you act or work, or shall we say, how is your policy as a ship owner? Let's say you get an inquiry for the same cargo from three different freight forwarders. Would you give the same price to everyone, or do you depend on how you know them and give preferential prices, or how is your policy on this?
No, we basically offer the same price to everyone approaching us. Of course, it depends what scope they ask.
Yeah.
It depends on a lot of things, but the basic idea is, of course, to hand out the same rate and the same proposal to people approaching us. You know, that's you cannot really prefer one or the other. It just doesn't work. You know?
Because nowadays, of course, nobody knows. It may be CIF, it may suddenly be FOB, and suddenly somebody else control the cargo, and you have to focus on getting the cargo no matter from who. So that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You never know who finally will be in control. And at the end of the day, well, we are not engaged in land transport, for example. That is something which is definitely freight forwarder business. And you don't know as to how good a freight forwarder is able to organize the land transport, how cost efficient he's able to. And then at the end of the day, you might be good on ocean, but maybe the freight forwarder is not, or there's another forwarder than you would have been working with who is better on land and finally getting the job. So for us, we treat all our customers equally important. And that's why we like to work with everyone who's approaching us.
I think that that's a very wise policy. Can you spend a couple of minutes to introduce the Africa trade, since you are head of that very important and booming trade? It's a huge continent. A lot of people say that they are Africa experts, but in fact, they only visited South Africa, for example. But in fact, the area is large. Where in Africa have you carried projects in the last couple of years? So where would you, or where would you see that there's big development at the moment?
Well, for the time being, and looking back the last couple of years, I can certainly say that West Africa for us, as well as North Africa, was a main, and still is a main focus of cargoes being shipped there. But of course, East Africa is very much on the agenda for us. There's a lot of business on the horizon, I would say, which we are aiming, of course, getting a share. Yeah. But the idea, what we are doing with the vessels is, as I mentioned initially, when introducing myself, is we are sending ships from Europe to Africa and back. We are also sending ships from Europe via Africa to Far East, for example. And we try to do the same from Asia or from the Middle East. It, of course, depends always. I mean, we are not a liner service, obviously. We are more, I would put us more into the tram sector, though we have regular ships and regular sailings. But yeah, that's how we look at that. And if a business makes sense for us, if it makes sense to send ships, then we certainly are doing that.
And certainly with the crane capacity that you have on your ships, you are certainly not depending on any shore crane facilities generally, I would say. So what is the draft? I also know from my own past that some of your ships have a very shallow draft and can even go to some very, let's say, specific project ports with very low water, so to say. Is that still correct?
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we have these 22 ships, they are a variety of ship types. We've got indeed a number of vessels which are very, very good on draft. So very shallow draft can be achieved, which is a big advantage for us, no doubt. But talking about draft bow, I like maybe to add one more feature we have on some of our ships. You know, a lot of people, they only look at, for example, at crane capacity or things like that. But we operate ships which are able to do up to 20 knots.
Wow.
And that, I think, in the heavy lift project segment is unique.
That I have to admit, that was a surprise even to me. It sounds almost like a container ship.
Yeah, but we are having those kind of ships as well here at the in our system, and yes, definitely helpful, particularly when you have got cargo which is really time sensitive.
Okay. Also for me, that's certainly not a surprise, but it's a good news, because it's really often like that you feel, oh, they have the cranes, but you have to book it well in advance because they can't sail very fast. So up to 20 knots, that's very impressive. That's good for our listeners and viewers to know. Then I also want to touch, I have a couple of more questions, touch on the latest development. I see from the news in general that SAL now is investing a bit in North America. doing a bit of business there with another ship owner. Is that something you can tell us a bit about?
Yeah, you refer to Intermarine?
Yes.
Indeed, yes, that's the latest and greatest news.
Okay.
And I think it's a very nice addition to our family group, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Intermarine, of course, is a separate entity, and it will stay a separate company. And when you look at Intermarine, of course, I mean, they are 30 years in business. They're very strong in the Americas and South America.
Yeah.
And for us, it's a nice addition, which provides certainly a lot of opportunities for Intermarine, because Intermarine has access to our global network and,
mm-hmm.
of course, also to our vessels. And likewise,
right.
We have access to their system, I think it's a nice combination.
It does, when I read the press release, it does sound like a hand in glove, and I, of course, I wish you all the luck with it. I'm sure it's a good idea. How do you see the future for everyone talks about COVID crisis? You and I have to meet like this without a drink in hand, unfortunately. COVID influences a lot. Does it influence your shipping business as such, or are you one of the ship owners that are more full than ever before, like somebody else?
Well, I think we are very lucky to be in the business we are in, first of all. Yes, COVID has, of course, negative impact. We've seen over the past months a lot of delays, that cargoes are delayed. And that is, of course, troubling schedules, which you might need to do. And that's what we have seen most, and what was mostly our main problem, that you have delays when it comes to cargo delivery into port.
Yeah.
Of course, you got as ship owner a crew on board your vessel. You need to make sure that they are safe. Countries, they have, or some countries, they have introduced quarantine measures. That's another potential risk that you, you have ships waiting into quarantine because certain countries have certain measures. Though there is no issue with a crew or with anything like that.
Yeah.
And I would say that mostly those kind of delays were impacting on us.
Okay.
Luckily, so far, knock on wood, no other issues came up within our group of companies.
Okay. Good to hear, Jürgen. No, as I said, as you know from before, we know each other several years. I'm also chairman of a couple of networks, both CLC Projects and Cross Ocean. And what I hear through the grapevine, at least the grapevine online, is that SAL has an excellent name and you are in high regard when it comes to project cargo. So, and I'm not telling you this because I'm interviewing you here. That's really the facts. So that's something you can be proud of. I think I would like to then finalize and say, what's in the future for SAL? Keeping on the good work and continuing as you are, or is there anything new coming up, which we haven't read yet?
Yeah, I mean, of course, we are looking ahead, and I think we are looking ahead in a positive fashion. And yes, we'll see what the future brings. We are looking ahead, and I believe that the future will be good. Everyone here is hands-on, and I think it will be good.
Yeah, after rain comes sunshine, as we say. So, Jürgen, many, many thanks for providing us answers. It's been a very interesting interview. I want to thank you very much formally.
Pleasure.
And then to our listeners and viewers around the world, this has been the conclusion of a very interesting interview with Mr. Jürgen Kunz, senior manager in SAL Hamburg, one of the leaders in heavy lift shipping. We thank him, and please stay tuned for any future interviews, and wishing you well. Thank you very much.